I still remember my Gospels class, where they, professor, we were talking about the feeding of the 5,000. 5 loaves and 2 fish are all we have. Jesus said, you feed them yourselves. And I still remember the professor talking about this incredible Gospel, and pointing out that this is not a story about sharing. This isn't how everyone suddenly decided to pull out the bread in their pocket and give up what they had, but rather, these people were hungry, genuinely hungry. And by the end of the day, they were hungry in more ways than one. The professor, after describing the situation through, you know, the historical eyes and through our understanding of what it is and what it foreshadows in the Eucharist, he said, Fathers, realize we were still seminarians, he said, Fathers, how do we preach this? And I remember looking out the window just as fast as humanly possible, hoping for anything, something, someone had tripped and fallen, an interesting squirrel, something, so I didn't have to make eye contact with the professor. And he said, Fathers, how do we preach this? And I was sitting in the front, so he kind of stood over by me, and I wanted to scan with my eyes across the room, and instead I met his gaze, and he said, Well, what do you think? And I sat up in my chair as best I could, and I looked him straight in the eye and said, I don't know, but I'm sure you do. He smiled and said, that's not the point. So don't worry, I don't have that homily for you, because that homily ends right about there. This is an incredible reminder to us of some very, very important things within our own lives. Jesus, you know, says to his apostles, he says, you feed them. Realize these people are hungry. They're looking for God. They're looking for something. They're starving for it, literally. And they see him come out of the boat, and there he is, and his heart is moved with pity. Why? Because they're looking for him. They're looking for someone to bring them that peace, to bring them that reminder that God is there for them. And so he cures their sick, and he's there the whole day. And finally, it reaches evening, and suddenly the people aren't just hungry in one way, they're hungry in more ways than one, because now they're hungry in every sense. And the apostles are trying to be pragmatists. They're trying to be very realistic. They're saying, look, they're all going to starve to death if we don't do something. Send them home so they can eat. And instead, their challenge, he says, you feed them. You find a way to feed them. And I was reflecting on this. I was thinking about this, and I think back to the summer between my second and third year of theology. I was 6 years in the seminary. I had 2 years left, and that summer I was the chaplain at St. Anthony Medical Center in Rockford. And that was a very busy summer for me in so many ways. And about midway through the summer, my circumstances changed where I was staying, so I really didn't feel comfortable staying at the rectory where I was anymore, so I started sleeping on my sister's couch, and my sister and my brother-in-law's house. And my sister had just lost a baby through miscarriage, so there was a lot of pain there. And I was working as a chaplain in a hospital, and I don't know if you know this about me, but meeting new people it genuinely terrifies me. It's actually one of the most frightening things I can do, is trying to meet someone new. And rest assured, as a chaplain, basically that's what you do every 12 seconds, is you knock on a door and you try and meet somebody new. And I would receive a list every single day, and it basically said their name and their room number and whether or not they wanted a chaplain's visit. And even if they marked yes on the box, sometimes that didn't mean they wanted a chaplain's visit when you showed up. And sometimes when they marked no on the box, what they meant was they didn't want a chaplain when they were filling that form out. But now they want to see a chaplain. So you kind of knocked on the door, and I said, hello, my name is Seminarian Bernie Sayre, and I'm a chaplain here at St. Anthony's. Would you like a visit? And in that moment's hesitation between when I asked the question and when I got an answer, it was the single most terrifying moments, because I didn't really know what was going to happen next. And I didn't really like not knowing what was going to happen next. And if they said yes, then I had to go in and I wanted to listen. But sometimes they were expecting something, so we'd have staring contests instead until someone tried to say something. If they said no, I'm not going to lie, sometimes I got a little excited, because that meant I tried, but I didn't fail and I could move on to the next one. But it was this terrifying moment. So it was very tiring. I mean, I'm not complaining. It's great. I love the opportunity to meet new people. I'm still terrified by it, but it is an exciting moment. And so at the end of the day, I'd be very tired. I would rather go build houses all day, because I think that it appeals to me more. But that's what I was called to do. And in that moment, I I wouldn't be ready to go home because that was even more challenging at home. So I was very blessed that summer. I had a friend of mine who was building a deck on the back of his parents' house. And so I'd go and visit him while he was building his deck. And I'd help him complete the deck. And by help him, I mean I would sit and watch as he completed the deck. It was very rewarding. And I still remember one day, I was sitting on the newly completed bench, on the newly completed deck, and his mom came out. And she was near tears, and she saw me sitting there on the deck, and she said, "How could God ever love me?" And I thought to myself, I have nothing left. I really have nothing. I'm tired from the day's work. I don't really know what else I can come up with. I just don't feel like I've got a point to really recharge. And I wouldn't want them to think that God didn't love them, but I admit I'm not always the best person. In that moment, the thought that crossed my mind was, isn't there a pastor or a friend you can call for something like this? There's a moment of difficulty. And I mean, she wasn't even Catholic, you know? It's not even like, you know, she was coming to the Catholic faith because that's where she always comes to. It's that difficult moment, and I really started with a prayer. I thought to myself, I said, "Lord Jesus, I have nothing to feed her with. I have nothing." And after I said that prayer, and the silence went on for far too long, I looked at her, and I said, well, why wouldn't God love you? And genuinely speaking, she was going through a very difficult time. She had a lot of health issues that were keeping her from leaving the house. And genuinely, she was struggling with so many things. And she started there. She started to describe the struggles she was having in her own life and all the difficulties that came along with that. And yet, she didn't stop there. Because after describing her frustration and her shortcomings and the problems that were going on in her life, she went on to say, But I have a son who loves me so much that here he is trying to improve the house. I have a husband who loves me so much that he's working very hard to provide for his family. I have friends who come and visit me. Every single day I get visitors who come and see me, so even though I can't go out, they come to me. I have a community that prays with me and wants to be a part of everything that I do. And genuinely, I watched as God spoke to her and revealed all of these things to her. So by the end, I had only asked the one question. By the end, she genuinely looked at me and said, "I guess the better question is, how could God not love me?" And in that moment, it became very clear, I had nothing to give. Or at least, I didn't think I did. But it didn't change the fact that we come back to that very same challenge in the loaves and the fishes. Don't get me wrong, this gospel is a foreshadowing of the Eucharist and a reminder to us of all the things and all the ways that God will feed us. But it also points to something far more immediate. When we feel empty, when we feel worn out, when we feel like we're completely spent, like we have nothing left to give, and we have no understanding of why it is that we're here in this moment, and we're struggling, and we don't understand why it is that God's asking more of us, because we are sure that we have nothing left. It's in that moment that suddenly God says, "You feed them." And we look at what we have, and what do we have? Do we have 5 loaves and 2 fish? Well, it may not seem like much to us. Certainly 5 loaves and 2 fish doesn't seem like much against 5,000. And I think it's very important. It says there's 5,000 men, not counting women and children. If you've ever been to any religious event, if there are 5,000 men, there are at least 10,000 women. So, you know, we got 15, 20, there could be 30,000 people at this event. There's just 5,000 men at this event. You count the children, the women, who knows? Those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, they suddenly don't seem like very much. And the wicker baskets that they described to pick up, the 12 wicker baskets full left over, rest assured, you could throw those 5 loaves and those 2 fish in one wicker basket and nobody would know that they were even there. This gospel reminds us of something far more essential in our lives, and that is that when we think we have nothing left, when we think we are spent, God reminds us, he says, "You feed them with me." And God takes whatever we give him, whatever little we think we have, God takes that, and he turns it into an overabundance. Because God has never outdone generosity. He's never outdone in giving. And if we're willing to submit ourselves to God and say, I'll give you what I have, it's not much, but if you think you can do something with it, run with it. God takes what little we have and he turns it into an overabundance. Never underestimate that God can always take it and surprise you with what he can make with it, if you let it. And therein lies our challenge.